in the party, Richter.
Welcome to See What the Party Richter. I'm Aaron Freskis. With me, as always, are Joseph Beck Castro and Chris Chapman. And we're joined once again by writer-comedian Brendan Prenewitz, who's going to help us finish off the summary for Arnold's 1982 fantasy epic, Conan the Barbarian. All right, let's jump right back in. So take it away, Chris.
The three of them get brought before King... I wrote down King Osric, but it corrected to King Ostrich, so that's what I'm going to call him now.
Christopher Plummer, right?
It was. I always get... No, it's actually not, actually. I looked it up. It's Max von Sydow.
Oh, that's right.
I always get confused with Christopher Plummer.
Okay. Oh. Wait, aren't they the same person?
I thought it was Gandalf. No. That guy is Gandalf, man.
No, you're thinking of Christopher Electrician. Totally different.
Sorry. God damn it. Wait, are you sure it's... They look exactly the same.
I looked it up on IMDb. It says Max von Sydow.
Damn, they do look the same.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So they get brought before King Ostrich, seemingly to pay for their crimes, but in fact, he is super pumped that they fucked with the snake cult. He tells them that he hates the Salsa Doom, and that the high priest Rexor has really been pissing him off since the jewels were stolen. The king also says that his daughter was recruited into the cult and is set to be given to Salsa Doom. So he pays the thieves to go and steal her back, promising even more money when they return.
I think he let him off easy.
Oh, yeah.
If we run, yeah.
Definitely.
A little too easy.
He could have killed one of them as an example.
Yeah. Could have killed that girl with that one girl.
Or like slice off an ear.
Yeah, true.
Like
instead of killing him, he gave him a job.
A really well-paying job.
He's like, here is some rubies.
I don't know. Sometimes I'd rather be killed on the fucking job. Shit.
That's true.
Later on, when they're alone, Valyria tells Arnold that Salsa Doom is unbeatable and begs him to abandon the rescue mission, to just take what they've got already and run away. But Arnold is clearly determined to go, not only to get the princess back, but to avenge his parents. And when Valyria awakes the next morning, he has gone.
Rides away on a horse. Yeah. Look who's going to afford a horse.
Exactly.
Now.
And it gets kind of weird. Like, the what is it? The Children of Doom?
They look like the Children of God.
This is when the narrator comes back in as he sets
He's
off in
search
of...
He's been gone the whole movie, and now he comes, and I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Because I forgot. Like, where have you been? He's like my father. Like, what is going on right now?
So Arnold is off in search of the Mountain of Power where the princess is and where Salsa Doom rules from. But along the way, he runs into some hippies, and this is the part that Brennan was talking about.
Yeah. They look like they live in OB.
Like they look like
live
what?
In OB. Like they live in Ocean Beach. So he sees the hippies, and this is where the narrator cuts back in, and what does he say? He's like, Doom's children. The children of Doom.
Yeah, it's just so random, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
And you're like, what?
The hippies tell him where the mountain is and that he should join the cult. Arnold keeps riding, runs across some kind of like shrine or monument or something. It's basically just a bunch of boulders in a big grid pattern.
I'm curious how long this movie would be if you took out all the traveling montages.
I don't, or half the montages, period. Like,
it's just, especially the travel. There's a lot of traveling, but they spend so much time on it.
It is Lord of the Rings-esque in that way. Yeah.
How much better would the movie be if it was all montages? When we take it from that direction, it'd probably be better.
That's just a music video, though. Especially like the 80s one, where it's just like them going on concerts.
This kind of seems like a music video. Like if you cut out all the dialogue.
And he just looks like he's walking through Antelope Valley. Like right through Antelope Valley or something like 100%. That.
100%.
Yeah.
It's all SoCal.
But I miss the naming conventions of how they did. Like, especially in this movie, like the Wheel of Pain, the Mountain of Power. You know, we got like Palomar Mountain or fucking like... Mount Hood or some bullshit. Like, I want, like, the Mountain of Pain. Like, I can't think of anything else, but like, I just want cool shit.
See, this is why we don't have good names anymore.
Like, yeah, Mount exactly. Painmore. Mount Painmore.
The mountain of more pain than the one three
the
blocks
next one.
That way.
Yeah.
This mountain sucks.
Mountain of Pain 6. Mountain
Sucky
Revenge.
Mountain.
I don't know.
Yeah. Shit Mountain.
It is so we're at the monument or whatever
mountain of your balls sticking to the side of your leg, and you're like, oh, I know what to expect from this mountain. All right,
I'd stay away from that.
That's all mountains, right?
Yeah, amount of ticks on your balls. All I can think is balls. I'm not very funny.
Boner's creek. Well, ticks on your balls. That's good.
Yeah. Yep. Avoid that mountain too.
Yeah. That's a rough one.
Mountain of the place where we continuously interrupt Chris before he can say what he's doing next.
Yeah.
See, very descriptive mountain.
That's the mountain we live on.
Actually, we're at the my favorite part of the movie. When I love this part of the movie.
Yeah,
I love,
obviously, the Chronicler's your favorite character.
Like, when he ends up at this place, it's the best. It's probably the best part. I have so many questions, but go ahead. You're the summary guy. I've been waiting for this.
So it's at this monument where the narrator finally enters the story, as Arnold is yelled at by a hermit who claims to be a wizard who can summon demons. Mm-hmm. And at this, and also when he enters the story, it's like, he's so fucking crazy, it's starting to make me doubt that any of this actually happened. like he's just making all this shit up. So Arnold immediately makes friends with this maniac, who says his job is to sing to all the dead gods and kings buried under the shrine, and who is so crazy, even Salsa Doom's cult doesn't fuck with him.
I was going to say, like, they act like they know each other. So
yeah,
I was
but he kind of, he's very, like, friendly with, like, him and Subo act the same way. Like, Subutai?
He's basically a schizophrenic homeless person. They're all friends.
Yeah.
You got it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta be good at making friends out there.
Just go the way they start laughing, like, it's good to see you. And then, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. It's definitely weird, but they're both just crazy stupid. So, so at this point, Arnold forms a plan. He leaves his belongings with the wizard, picks up some wildflowers, and heads to where the snake cult pilgrims are gathered.
The part where he says, do they have flowers there?
Yeah, exactly. Right? That's the last line of dialogue with them before he leaves. And that's when they first met. Because the wizard is basically telling them that, I don't know, like, how hard it is to live here. Like, fire doesn't burn at the top of the mountain or whatever. And he's like...
He's full of shit, by the way.
Yeah, he is super full of shit. But Arnold asks him, do they have flowers here? And then he like...
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It is one of the few sentences he says in the entire movie.
Yeah, like complete sentences.
Which makes it stand out more. I'm like, what?
And then I think the wizard just goes, flowers? And then they just both start laughing at each other.
Yeah, it's so strange. I love it.
Yeah. So Arnold takes his flowers and he heads off to see all the other snake cultists.
Now it gets a little homoerotic. Right?
Yeah.
Now it does?
My favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, it's been relatively homoerotic up to this point. I don't know. So he heads to where all the other pilgrims are. The actual snake cultists arrive eventually to take the pilgrims to the mountain. And Arnold pretends to be a filthy hippie like the ones he met earlier.
But how he becomes one is great. It's like, what? It's such a strange
Well, no,
scene.
He pretends to be a hippie, and then he meets a priest.
It's like a Three Stooges.
Yeah.
The priest is one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie.
The priest who clearly has the hots for him, like, the second they meet. And he can tell, because he's like, hey, can we go over there behind that boulder where no one can see us? And,
right.
And the priest is like, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, and Arnold's not a little boy either, so that's really surprising for a priest. Got you. Fuck you, Catholic Church. Suck my balls.
Yeah.
Actually, don't. That would be...
They won't. You're too old.
Yeah. So he takes the priest behind some cover and then knocks him the fuck out and steals his ropes.
Well, I like before that where he says, I'm just shy.
He says, I'm afraid. And he's like, afraid of showing your body? And it's like, how do you know that's what he was? What the fuck are you talking about?
Like,
just
I'm
immediately
just shy.
Trying to get him naked.
Like, there weren't a lot of gay themes in early films, but, like, I'm surprised this hasn't been discussed more in college classrooms. Cause...
There wasn't a lot of gay text. There's a lot of gay subtext in this movie.
Yeah, in this film in particular, but we're talking about American cinema.
Yeah,
like, not a lot of gay themes, but this one had some gay themes.
Yep, definitely. So now that he is a priest, he gets to the mountain where they're all going.
But Chris, you know what? You said something earlier, and I think it really comes full circle here. I mean, the cult looks like KKK.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They
just
look
like a huge, like, this place just looks like Georgia. Like,
yeah.
This,
like it looks
just
like Georgia.
Masses and masses of white hooded people. Like,
yeah.
And they're all white, by the way. Like, there's, again, besides James Earl Jones, there's no other black or even vaguely ethnic people in this movie. But anyway, he's at the mountain. He starts using the snake symbol that he stole from the Tower of the Serpent like it's a backstage pass.
Exactly. I love how the cult has a doorman, like the guy who checks everybody's medallions before he enters. Like, right here, look at him. He's checking everybody's medallions.
Yeah. Which, by the way, the priest that he stole the robes from, he had a regular medallion.
Wait, where did he get this medallion again?
He pulled it off the wall on the tower after, like, God, right before stupid. He killed the snake. Yeah, yeah.
And he's just showing it.
It's like seeing an ID, a picture of an ID at a store, and tearing that off of there, and then trying to show it at
like
a bar.
No. It's like seeing a picture of the lead singer of the band and taking that off the wall, and then taking that and be like, "No, I'm this person. This person told me
it's
I
like
could go
going to a bar with an ID of Samuel Jackson."
Yeah,
like I don't think this matches up.
It's not Conan the software engineer at Eterna. Like all those smart motherfuckers. It's Conan the Barbarian.
He kind of passes, though. He passes for a while. You know,
passes for a little bit.
He passes the first guy.
He passes at least a couple guards. Yeah.
Well, they're dumber than he is.
Exactly.
They're fucking Steve the Troglodyte or some shit. Like, they're a couple levels below fucking Barbarian.
Do you think those other guys got in trouble after because they didn't, like, catch the ID? Like, you know, when if you get caught with a fake ID at a bar,
oh, the bouncer,
like the bartender,
gets in trouble.
And exactly, yeah. Like they get arrested.
Yeah,
so those guys probably
The film has a strange penal system, like Conan got arrested and he got a job, like
yeah, but then he got arrested again and got crucified.
They get promoted,
so it's like you don't know what the fuck's gonna happen. Yeah.
The ethical quality of the ethics in this film are just bizarre.
I mean, it's well, see, here's the thing you're missing. It is a social commentary on our current penal system. But it's just shown through the lens of Conan, but it's the same sort of thing. Like when he gets a job, basically that's the white Conan. When he gets sent and he gets crucified and or becomes a child slave, that's the black or brown Conan. So really it's just a huge social commentary on the American justice system and specifically the prison system and how white people usually benefit from crime and getting caught while others do not. So
I wish a chronicler would have said that.
Yeah.
So one of the guards like basically notices that the symbol he's using is bullshit and takes it from him, but lets him pass. At this point, Salsa Doom appears at the top of the mountain to speak to the crowd as the guard goes to Rexor and Gallagher 2, which is what I'm calling the guy with the hammer, to show them the snake symbol. And as Doom speaks, the guards sneak up on Arnold and take him away as everyone calls him an infidel. I did not think Gallagher 2 was going to hit that hard.
I don't know why. I'm just imagining him imagining heads are pumpkins and he's like, watermelons. And he's like, oh yeah, baby. And then actual Gallagher saw this movie and was like, bro, what if I use that same hammer, but use watermelons instead of heads?
This is hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, he makes that girl just jump for no reason. You know, he's like, hey, are you my follower? She's like, yeah.
Peace.
It kind of reminded me of that cult where a bunch of people committed suicide. Remember?
Heaven's Gate?
Every cult?
Jim Jones?
Yeah,
Jim Jones. It reminds me of Jim Jones' cult.
Was that also a sex cult? Aren't they all?
Probably.
I think they all are.
That's the number one reason you start a cult. It's just to smash lost 19-year-old chicks.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So Arnold's getting taken away as everyone calls him an infidel. And I got to stop here because I really like this close-up on James Earl Jones because it looks like he's in a Cobra Commander costume.
I mean,
it does look like he's in a Cobra Commander costume.
Thematically makes sense.
Yep, exactly.
And snake eyes, too? What?
So I was curious why the good people at Pace Picante Sauce never made a theme flavor called Salsa Doom. True. But then I noticed James Earl Jones is from New York City. Anyway.
So Arnold is being tortured by Rexor and Gallagher when Thulsa shows up. Thulsa monologues for a while, talking about how mad he is that Arnold stole his jewels and killed his snake. And then Arnold tells him about how Thulsa murdered his family and stole his father's sword. Thulsa clearly doesn't remember, but admits that in his younger days he was obsessed with finding good steel, but that he now values power over the flesh much more, and proves his power by having one of his followers throw herself off a cliff, much like the girl in the tower.
Yeah, I like that part. That was a great part.
It was a good monologue.
Yeah. Best supporting actress right there.
Yeah, I bet you that chick was like super annoying too.
Oh God, like, yeah, he pretended it was random, but he was definitely like, no, that one right the fuck there.
Yeah. Susan, yeah, you, yeah. Come on, bitch.
The way he says it too, he's like, you beautiful woman. Yeah. And then he's like, do you love me? And then
he's like, come to me, child. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thulsa then sentences Arnold to be crucified on the Tree of Woe. We see him hang on the tree for weeks as vultures wait for him to die, and one vulture gets a little impatient and pays the price as Arnold bites its neck and fucking kills it.
Yeah, it's probably some of the best acting in the entire film. Like, from if we really break it down. Yeah, the vulture did a great job too. But if we look at Arnold, where he's actually acting like he's being. The vulture looks fake as fuck.
Yeah, the vulture is a Muppet. It looks like a
puppet, you know? Yeah. But when he bit that vulture, like, I could see that was coming from something deep inside of
him. he played the old Uno reverse card right there. Yeah. It's like, all right, you fucking vulture, I got you now.
So some more time passes, and when it seems like Arnold is on the brink of death, suddenly he sees Subo on the horizon and begins laughing deliriously before passing out.
You know, from what I heard about this movie beforehand, I really thought, like I said, Conan's gonna be some like sort of badass, but. Mm-hmm. Now he just gets his ass kicked throughout the whole movie. Nope. Consistently, like, manages to get out of a fucked up situation by luck. Basically, Valeria is way more badass. Like, she's, like, the most kick-ass character in this movie.
Yeah, yeah. They definitely make her way more competent in every way. And she's the one, she's generally the one who comes up with the plans and shit, too.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the cult, too, the cult, they don't believe in anything. That's their whole goal, is to believe in nothing. So it would make sense that Arnold would one day be their king because he has nothing in his head. Yeah. It's like the perfect Matt.
That'd be great if they kept asking him questions about nothingness and he just accidentally knew the answers. He's like,
That's the Nietzsche quote. I mean, it's not Conan the International Spy. Conan the Barbarian.
This is a great tagline. These are such great taglines.
That's true. That's what should have been on all the every poster should have been a different. It's not called Conan the whatever.
Just a military strategist.
Not Conan the lawyer, the Wall Street lawyer. Yeah. Conan the barbarian.
Subo brings him back to the wizard's hut, where Valeria is also waiting. She demands that the wizard use his magic to heal Arnold, but the wizard warns that it will come at a cost. But Valeria volunteers to pay it. Then the wizard draws a bunch of shit on Arnold's face since he's passed out.
Is he dead?
I can't tell. I thought he was like just dying, but he might be dead. I honestly don't know.
But you always do that when the homies pass out.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if he's dead or not. You just fucking draw some. Like, I mean, most of those symbols meant dick or balls. Yes.
I think this is where the chronicler should have come in and explained, like, Arnold's dead.
Yeah, it would have been nice.
And also, like, this scene is probably another one of Arnold's best acting parts.
When he just lies still.
Yeah, he does a great job of lying still.
I like the idea that he was supposed to lie still, but he couldn't, so they had to wrap him up just because he... So that night, they tie Arnold's body to some stakes in the ground, and the wizard tells them that something is going to try to take him. The sky turns red, a bunch of spirits come to try to take Arnold, but Valeria and Subo fight them off while the wizard hides in his hut. Eventually, the spirits give up, but Arnold does not wake up until the following morning, and when he does, Valeria promises that as long as he's alive, she will fight through the gates of hell to stand with him.
Right. The special effects are terrible. Like, they look like they're the worst. They might as well use Pac-Man ghosts. You
know? Like, it's clearly just animation on top of like the film or whatever. But yeah.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't seem that hard to fight off, you know?
No, they're just like swatting away like they're...
Yeah, just swatting away. She even tries to stab a couple of them with a knife and it's like, they're They're ghosts. They're clearly ghosts. What are you doing?
Apparently it worked. Because, yeah. I mean...
They're just, like, not very... Yeah. So Arnold recovers his strength shortly thereafter, and the trio make a plan to infiltrate the mountain through the back door. Although Val and Subo seem worried plan. That... Although Val and Subo seem worried that Arnold will be more focused on killing Salsa Doom than grabbing the princess. They get to the mountain, put on some camo paint, and head inside.
This is one of my favorite parts, too. I love this part.
I wonder
love
why.
It.
I wonder
Wait,
why.
When they're sneaking in?
All of it. I love how they put camo paint on for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah,
they didn't have camo on the entire film, but they're like, you know what?
And why the fuck would it matter when they're going to be in there, like, right next to people? So they make it into Salsa Doom's champagne room, where there is a lot of sex happening. And Salsa
there's
sits
not,
on the throne.
There's not sex happening.
Well, there's a lot of writhing and naked bodies happening.
There's not even that much nudity. It looks like a bunch of people who never took sex ed trying to have sex.
Yeah, just a bunch of dry humping going on.
Yeah. It's clearly dry. It's the worst orgy scene I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot. By far the worst.
Let's see. Salsa is sitting on his throne with the princess next to him. And I just really love Arnold's eyes when he sees the orgy. Like, they keep, they're like peeking over the side, and like her head pops up and she looks, Subo's head pops up and she looks, and then Arnold's head pops up and his eyes go all wide, like, oh my God, there's an orgy in here.
I think that's my favorite part of the movie.
That's what I'm saying. I love this part of it.
So the thieves prepare for their attack while Salsa Doom starts turning into a giant snake and slithers out of the room.
That soup they were making.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just like
soup.
Hands. Yep. And this girl, she starts eating hand, but like, it's like the worst. Like, how do you eat a hand?
I have no fucking clue.
There's got to be a lot of bones in it, but she's just like chewing on it, like it's an edible hot dog. And so, I thought, like, wing. If I would have made this movie, I would have written in here. I'd be like, hey, does anybody in this orgy need a hand job? It would have been like the perfect one. Just a missed opportunity.
Well, then you gotta hire another actor who's like playing drums in the background, so you can enter that the brooch.
Hey, who wants some hand soup here? Right here. Just a bunch of stubs people raise up.
It's so stupid. I love it. It's weird. It looks like it's like green soup with hands in it. Like, who the fuck wrote that?
Also, when he turns into the snake, it reminded me of Super Mario Brothers for some reason, the movie.
Yep.
Yeah. Where Bowser turns into the dinosaur.
Just is, where, yeah, just
Dennis
all.
Dennis Hopper?
Or King, yeah. King Koopa, not Bowser.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
It's only three frames where he turns into a snake. It's a normal face, and his face gets a little bit longer, then bam, snake.
Yeah, yep. Definitely. So the thieves at this point set a fire and start the attack, with Arnold and Subo fighting guards while Valeria fights her way up to the princess and grabs her. Rexor and Gallagher show up and fight Arnold. Gallagher gets a little mallet crazy and accidentally knocks loose some debris that hits Rexor on the head and takes him out. And then knocks down a pillar so that like he can't get to Arnold. The trio get back to their horses and begin their escape.
But they knock over the soup. They knocked over the soup.
Oh, yeah. Sorry,
like,
I forgot
Arnold,
to
like,
mention.
Dumped all that soup on everybody. He's like, all those people fucking. He's like, bam!
They definitely make a meal out of that soup falling over. Like, there's a lot of shots of the soup.
Like, somebody should have a party where they just reenact that scene. Like, you know, that'd be so great.
No fun.
I mean, that's Nickelodeon in the 90s, that's right? That's just, they saw this and like, ooh, green slime. Yeah. That's going to be our thing.
So Salsa shows up after all the action is over. He goes outside. He turns a snake into an arrow. and he hits Valeria with it as they're riding away.
This part's kind of sweet. Like, it's kind of romantic. Yeah, you know? It's like, I want my last breath in your mouth.
Okay, that was fucked up. That was fucked up.
That was weird.
So Valeria is dying in Arnold's arms shortly thereafter, and one of her last words is, let me breathe my last breath into your mouth.
That's kind of sweet.
No, thank you.
It's kind of romantic.
No.
A bloody
like,
breath.
Like your literal death rattle into my mouth? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I think it's romantic.
Can we do a vote? I say romantic, Joe says romantic.
No, it's split.
No, it's not romantic.
The good thing about that is if, like, she said that to you and you're like, It wouldn't matter because she's going to die in like 2 seconds. So if she does get mad about it, she'll be dead in a minute.
I would have done it.
Just like put your mouth over like fucking Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber with when he's kissing, what's her name? It's like,
yeah.
But if you look carefully at this scene again, she's overacting. Like she overacts everything. She's overdramatic.
One of my notes is Valeria dies from bad acting.
R.I.P.
Let's see. When they get back to the wizard's hut, they burn Valeria on a pyre. Like like Aaron said earlier, the wizard's full of shit because he said no fire would burn up there.
Exactly. So I have three thoughts real quick here. First off, they just lost the best member of their team.
Yep.
Yeah.
Number two, Mako says the fire won't burn up there and then immediately start a fire. And I'm thinking that with the exception of Valeria, this whole team doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah.
Because isn't he supposed to be like a wise man too or something?
He's a wizard. I don't know. He's a crazy asshole is what he is.
He's Yoda, like, you know.
Yeah, but he's Yoda before Yoda decides to take shit serious. Like, he's Yoda at the beginning of Empire.
When we first meet him.
Yeah, crazy Yoda.
Up there, fire won't burn.
Because he doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about.
And then they burn.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. And then Conan isn't exactly, like, the epitome of, like, classic, like, Schwarzenegger action heroes. Like, you know, like, Dutch from Predator or for John Eraser from Eraser. You
know? I don't believe that was his name.
It's Kruger. I looked it up and it just says Eraser in IMDb.
They lost the best member of her team. She's the smartest, too. She's the smartest.
Exactly. Ever. Clearly the
smartest. Probably the smartest in the whole movie.
Exactly.
Like, for example, if she was still alive, she might have said, hey, why don't you try to bring me back to life instead of burning my body like you just did with Conan?
Yeah. Right. Seems like that's an option in this film.
I'm thinking that when he said, then when Mako said they learned how to read, it was probably picture books because, like, there's no way those were...
Nope.
Okay, then lastly, like, do you guys think the funeral pyre thing, like, that would probably smell good, right? Like, kind of like how a steak starts smelling good on the grill.
It smells bad.
Really?
Arnold can't terrible. Smell.
When you're cooking a steak, you're cooking a very small piece of enamel. You're not cooking their bladder or their intestines or, like, all the shit that's inside.
Okay, so eventually...
Imagine the pubes back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, fuck it. Like, it's like 80s Bush, but before that... Like, razors weren't even invented.
I like how you can't conceptualize anything beyond 80s Bush.
Well, yeah. I wasn't alive. Bush,
but before that.
Okay. Like, I was curious if it smelled good or not. But then after that, I was curious, like, I wonder if she smelled better than Qui-Gon Jinn smelled in Phantom Menace. Like, or which one smells worse? Like, does she smell worse than Qui-Gon Jinn smells in Phantom Menace?
Ouch.
And I would have said Darth Vader probably smelled the worst because they're also burning plastic with that when they're burning him.
Also, you know, because he's in the suit, he doesn't bathe, right? Like, he just is like, no, I don't have to bathe.
He sits in that back to tank, doesn't he?
Sure, I guess. I don't know.
It's a self-cleaning suit.
It's self-cleaning. It's like an oven.
I just pictured Darth Vader in a shower, like in his costume.
Yeah. Just with the helmet on?
Yeah.
Or not just in the costume.
Everything.
The costume.
Everything.
He's got like pert plus and he's like rubbing on top of his helmet.
Yeah.
So he doesn't smell outside the suit, but he smells really bad inside the suit.
I have to assume. I don't know.
Okay.
He's a fucking magic wizard with a sword, so he can probably just like magic away his
You can
fucking
force
stink.
Away the... The stink? I don't know, man.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Maybe.
But B, also, I just imagine there it's kind of like a dishwasher, you know? He like presses the button, maybe hooks up a hose, and it just like goes in there, kind of washes shit, and like it drains out, and boom, he's good to go. Like,
washes his balls. You know, he's got like a little button.
Just pumps water and scrubbing bubbles in there.
Yeah. Just like when you put your junk next to a pump in a jacuzzi. That's he's got a special pump that just goes right like underside of his balls. Like Lord Vader, like no. I'm washing myself.
He's just always on.
Hey, do you guys think that Valeria was a gold digger?
No, because she's like
she just seemed like she was like poor, like the rest of them, to where they all kind of like.
Again, I don't think they would have been very successful if not for her. Yeah, so like,
sure. Arnold just kept her on a steady diet of rubies. He's like,
I mean, I guess I don't know. Yeah, but yeah, she wouldn't have. They wouldn't have gotten all that if it wasn't for her. Because
she's
yeah.
smart and he's an idiot.
They probably would have tried to go through the front fucking door.
Yeah,
at that place,
they'd have just gone and done Conan's plan again. Just gotten some robes. Let's see. Oh yeah, they burn Valeria out of pyre. Arnold decides he's going to wear the necklace that he made for Valeria. This was funny to me. The wizard, Subo, is crying, and the wizard goes, "Why are you crying?" And it's like, my fucking friend just died, you dickhead. Like, why do I have to, like, just because she wasn't my girlfriend, that doesn't mean I can't cry, you asshole.
Yeah. I like what he says.
Yeah, he says, "He is Conan the Barbarian. He is Conan. He cannot cry, so I will cry for him." And that also just seems like a cover, but whatever.
It seems like a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
But if it's true, that's a real homie right there.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, like, that's your homie's a real friend. Yeah, he's all sad, but he can't cry. You're like, all right, man, I'll take on the crying for you.
Yeah. Conan, like, says, "Hey, shut up, pussy."
Yeah.
Yeah, Conan then makes fun of him for crying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not Conan the therapist. It's Conan the Barbarian.
It's not Conan, the emotionally literate.
Yeah. Conan the emotional support friend.
Yeah. We cut to the next day. The princess, who's the one that they're supposed to take back to the king, tells Arnold that Thulsa Doom will be coming for her. And so he and Subo prepare for the coming battle, Predator style, by setting up a bunch of traps and spears and shit.
They really didn't need the dead bodies. Like, they could have left this in the cave. But they're like, no, help us.
There were some that were already out in the thing. There were some that he found the first time around.
Has anyone actually seen any of Oliver Stone's movies? Are they actually well written? Because this one is...
Nope. Yeah, he's all right. He's an all right director.
Like, as far as writer, too? Dialogue writer, just the dialogue in this is bad, but I mean, I guess if they're purposefully making it cheesy,
yeah,
you know, not every work is your best, you know, sometimes you gotta.
It's true. Yeah. This was early in his career,
sometimes you're just paying the bills, yeah,
just like Adam Sandler.
let's see, so eventually, Salsa and his writers show up. And Arnold prays to Krom for victory, or more accurately, for revenge.
I like how his speech is pretty much like the speech that, or the thing that Dennis Habert says in Major League, where he's like, "Well, then fuck you, Joe Boo."
Yeah. Like, I'll do it myself.
Joe B. I do it myself. Yeah.
I don't go to church, but whenever my mom drags me to church on Christmas, I say the same prayer, you know? But I'm like, "Hey, fuck you, Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, help me pay my rent."
Yeah.
Yeah.
So eventually, let's see, Salsa's forces then ride through the shrine where Arnold and Subo ambush them and manage to take out most of them no problem. Even the wizard helps out a little bit. He stabs a dude.
They kind of wasted time putting the spikes in the ground, though, because not one person got stuck on a spike.
They knock them into the spikes, but nobody gets actually stabbed by them.
I was waiting for someone to get stabbed. They did.
Nope. So, eventually, it comes down to just Arnold versus Rexor and Gallagher. Arnold knocks Rexor off his horse, and Gallagher falls for one of the predator traps and gets impaled.
That's a great scene. That was a great scene.
Yep. I just love that he's dumb enough to fall for that. Like, he's just like, I wonder what this big contraption with the sharp stick is at the end of it. There's a guy with the helmet right there. I might as well hit him on the head.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm sure there's nothing that'll happen.
No, he just got visions of a watermelon. He's like, he can't resist. He's hallucinating.
Anytime he sees the helmet, he's like, I gotta hit that thing on the head.
Hit that shit. So then Rexor and Arnold fight. Rexor gets the upper hand at one point and is about to land a killing blow when all of a sudden Valeria appears in shining armor and saves Conan.
Yeah, that was a dumb scene. That's probably the dumbest scene in the whole movie. I don't know what the fuck she said, but it was dumb.
I'm pretty sure she just said, "Do you want to live forever again?"
Yeah, I don't know why
she said that. That was weird.
I don't get why she's back to life.
I guess. I don't know.
It's some weird shit. Like, they could have done better.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
And then she's gone.
There's magic and shit. So Arnold gets back up and cuts through Rexor's sword, which is actually his father's sword, and kills him. Salsa Doom runs away, but not before trying to kill the princess with another snake arrow. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Subo gets there just in time to block it with his shield.
I thought Subo was dead in that scene. I thought he was gone.
I definitely thought that it was going to go through his shield and bite his arm or something.
At this point in the film, I had about enough of Subo, so I was ready for him to die.
I thought the cheetah was going to eat him.
Like, come out of nowhere.
I first saw the fucking cheetah. I'm like, no. Like, back when the cheetah first
was around.
I thought he was dying in that scene.
Yeah, they're showing the cheetah a lot. The cheetah's going to eat Subo. Like, that's what's going to happen.
Nope.
He also only also only takes one shot. Did he run out of snakes or something? Like,
he brought one.
It takes
snake.
A lot of energy to get his snake hard. All right,
and you got to wait a little while before you get hard.
He's refractory. An older guy. Yeah,
yeah. There's a refractory period, like when you go to grab another snake and get it hard again. Like, it takes a while.
He could have probably shot all three of them, but he kind of half-assed it.
Yep, definitely. So we cut to that night back at the Mountain of Power as Salsa rallies his followers and tells them it's time to enact their plan. Which is essentially the evil plan from the first Spy Kids movie, which is like, that. I can't remember if it's Spy Kids 1 or 2, but one of them is just the plan is to replace the children of powerful people with robots that will assassinate them. And I think that's the plan here, which is that you just brainwash all these kids and send them back to their parents, and then they'll stab them with that dagger that the king had.
Yeah, I didn't know what the fuck was going on. Yeah. I had no idea.
During Spy Kids?
Both. Both. I watch Spy Kids a lot. That's one of my favorite films. I just don't understand it.
It's your Mulholland Drive. Robert Rodriguez's kids movies are...
or fever dreams, just like David Lynch movies. Yeah. So as Salsa is giving his speech, Arnold sneaks up to him with the princess's help.
Why is she helping him all of a sudden? Because he
because Salsa was gonna fucking kill her.
He tried to kill her.
So what? Like,
what do you what do you mean? So what?
She's been. I don't know.
Yeah,
okay.
but the last thing that happens is she's crying out. She said, "No, don't kill me! Don't kill me, Salsa! Don't kill me!" And then right before he shoots, she cries out for her dad. So I think she, like, the brainwashing is
broken. I thought she was calling him father.
No. She's crying out for her father. And so I think the brainwashing is broken.
She had a change of heart.
Okay.
You know, when someone's shooting you with snake arrows, you kind of have a change of heart.
Yeah, you got to reconsider your
Do we really need to explain this to you, Aaron, if you have been shot with a snake arrow? No. Huh?
Yeah.
So Salsa knows he's fucked at this point, but he tries to convert Arnold. But he gets his head chopped off instead.
I know. I love that scene, too. And then he throws his head down the stairs, and you realize, Arnold would be bad at bowling. You know, because he just veers to the right.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with Salsa dead, his followers all disperse, and Arnold is left to contemplate what his life means now that he has his vengeance.
So, were they under some? They weren't under like some sort of hypnotic spell. They were just like, okay, if he's not gonna be in charge of us, there's no fucking way this idiot is gonna. The guy that punched the camel, fuck no. Like, we're not following him.
That's probably it. But I also assume that having like an immortal sorcerer on your side probably emboldens you a lot.
I want to see scenes where Arnold's learning how to read. And then they're like, oh, we're going to follow this guy, you know?
Yeah. Like, I say immortal sorcerer, but then you're like, he's like, ah, a sword in my neck, my only weakness.
I just mean immortal. He's supposed to be 1,000 years old or whatever. Okay. That's what I meant. So, at this point, Arnold burns down Salsa's temple.
Mm-hmm. Made of stone.
Made of stone.
He burns down a stone.
A stone temple. Right.
He's good.
He's good, yeah.
That would probably be the best place for Mako to be like, this isn't going to burn. And that's when I would have been like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Okay. This is special. But like, he does it for a funeral pyre, which I'm like,
which
okay,
is, by
that's
the way,
burn.
Like 30 feet above them at most. Like the pyre. Yeah.
I think the point of that was some sort of magic shit.
Yeah, I'm sure. But, you know, it looked dumb.
I think the chronicler could have explained that. Like, hey, there's some magic shit happening right now. Yeah. I know I've been gone for a while, but I came back to mention this.
Yeah.
Let's see. So he takes the princess back, and the narrator comes back in over the end of the movie to tell us that he has many more adventures, some of which might even make for an entertaining and commercially viable sequel. And that's the end of the movie.
That witch is going to come back.
Yeah, definitely.
Witches be crazy.
Exactly.
Witches be crazy.
Yep.
Conan and witches be crazy.
So did Conan return the wayward daughter of King Ostrich to her. Man, I'm proud to a pretty good Mako.
Yeah, that's not a bad Mako.
And having no further concern, him and his companions sought adventure in the West.
When the movie first started, I thought that Mako was the grandpa from Three Ninjas.
He
kind of
sounds like it, right?
He's in Sidekicks. I know that he's Splinter in that Ninja Turtles animated.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
Because he sounds drunk throughout the whole thing.
I thought it was the Cookie Monster. It's the Cookie Monster talking shit.
I'm really sad Mako's not alive anymore, because you try to get him on Twitter to say, cookie, cookie, cookie.
Now we're going to do something extremely fun. We're going to play a wonderful game called Who is My Daddy and What Does He Do? Yes?
All right. And now that my voice sounds totally different, let's throw it away. Let's throw it over to Joe for our favorite segment, Joe Namath.
All right. My voice also sounds different. It sounds a little raspier. You're sexier.
Sexy, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also have hiccups, too. So,
anyway. Sexy hiccups.
Yeah. Is there any other kind? We don't have a lot of names here because there was a surprising lack of people who actually worked on this movie. It was really? Filmed in... I mean, if you look at it compared to like any movie with like special effects and stuff, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like compare this to a Lord of the Rings movie.
Yeah, okay. Okay, makes sense.
So it's filmed in Spain, so there's a lot of Spanish names, which are not really as fun. I don't know why. Yeah. But anyways, so we have a sound editor named Bub Assman.
Nice. I feel like there's been an Assman before.
Well, this one's Asman, A-S-M-A-N, but I don't know. I found it interesting. Yeah. Plus, you know, I'm reaching here, all right? This one's not a funny name. It's just interesting. There was like a credit for a spiritual advisor, and not like that was a character. Not like that was a character, but that was a... like somebody who worked on the film, you know?
Yeah,
like
on set, grim, spiritual advisor.
Well, yeah, yeah. So that's Dr. Fred L. Rexer.
Did you look him up?
No. What am I, a fucking professional?
I'm just curious. Wait, what was his name? Fred L. what?
Fred L. Rexer. R-E-X-E-R.
Oh, wow. He has his own Wikipedia page and IMDb page. And he's got a military nice. Wiki. He's a military advisor on Apocalypse Now. And a spiritual advisor for Conan the Barbarian.
What? Yeah, those kind of seem counterintuitive.
He's obviously a friend of John Milius, but like, it's just funny that he's like, I kind of like this guy. Talking
just made up a position for him on Conan, and what happened?
Yeah, talking guns with him really helps my spirit. It was probably Milius, actually. I'm assuming.
Yeah,
needed the spiritual advisor. Okay, sorry. Continue.
All right. Jesus. And for the last name, this one's my favorite. It's a stunt person. Their name is Chinchilla.
That's the whole thing. That's...
No first name or no last name, just one name, and it's Chinchilla.
Like the animal prince?
Yeah. So, and this is not a name, but you know how they do like the thanks and everything at the end? This one just says, a special thanks to Alfredo. So I'm not sure if that's a person or... A place, or they just really like the pasta sauce. I don't know.
I gotta assume it's the pasta.
Maybe they were just carb loading that whole time, and they're just like, "Oh, fucking
Milius again."
Thank you, Alfredo.
Yeah, just him and his spiritual advisor every night.
Just going to Olive Garden because they have those in Spain.
I love that. One. I love the idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I got. So
awesome. Nice. All right, and that's the summary for you. That was fun. I guess we'll see you next episode for whatever's left. It could be trivia. It could be more talking. Who knows? Iron's pumped. That's going to happen for sure. And then more stuff. Anyway, thanks for listening and...
See you at the party, Rickster!
If you enjoy our show, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Potty Richter to make sure you never miss an episode. See You at The Potty Richter is a production of Tape Deck Media. Follow Tape Deck on Instagram at Tape Deck _media or look us up on Facebook for more hilarious podcasts.